100 word stories.
Good morning. Hey, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 word stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. What a positive URL. So life affirming. How are you doing this morning? I can't hear you. This is a weekly challenge where I post a topic, you come up with a story, maybe you've heard of it. The topic is drive. And we got a lot of stories in this week from, well, let's see, Tom, John, Charlie, Jeffrey, Richard, Dwayne. Yes, Dwayne, he's new to this. Long time listener, first time caller kind of thing. So, hey, welcome, Dwayne. And Lizzie, Serendipity, Norval Joe, and just under the wire, Tura. Yay! Although if Tura had been just a few minutes more, I would have said, hey, if you're running a little late, send it in. Anyway, I'll post it on the feed in a separate post. You see? See how that works? But just under the wire, because I was petting the cat for a while. Literally, petting a cat. Oh, and Planet Z. So, let's get on with the stories. Enough of me babbling. You don't want to hear my crap. And let's start with Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I don't have a clue where I am. And tonight's story is called Bodhisattva. Phil liked to drive at night. Less people. He wasn't much for freeways, like city streets and county roads. Wasn't into speeding, just cruising. Rarely drove with anyone. Never saw him with a girl. It wasn't because he was an antisocial type, hardly, party hardy as any of us. Driving was a deep meditation, he'd say. When blank stares and wobbly eyes met his words, he'd just order a round of beer. Up went the cheers, and everyone thought he was messing with them. I was standing outside the Dunkin' Donuts the night he and his car reached total enlightenment. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
The massive drive whirled away for a week, copying everything from the implant. The chip was tasked to collect the previous year's data. The data included sound and images. This was the equivalent of storing about 3 million television shows. The drive had to be cooled with extraordinary apparatus, including liquid nitrogen and elaborate heat sinks. After the drive was filled and subsequently indexed, it was shared among the existing female members of the tribe and stored safely away for future use. Stane McMillan was the oldest McMillan son, and was chosen to care for and maintain the storage cluster. 2. Stane stored the cluster in the trunk of his Buick Electra. The top weather seal of the trunk had deteriorated and rain and the car wash allowed water to seep into Stane's car trunk. In a short time, the family data was jeopardized and the danger was not discovered until Stane opened his trunk to check his spare. Stane panicked, and took the bulky unit to his local computer store for inspection. The cluster was dried and packed in desiccant. After powering up the drive, the techs ran integrity tests on the data and found everything intact. Thank you, God.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 591 on the topic of drive. My story this week is called The Right Prescription. I kept seeing ads for people with low T. They caught my eye. I'm not saying I can't, you know, but my sex drive hasn't improved with age. Maybe I did have low T. Several doses later, I was a new man. My wife didn't know what overcame me, but she didn't seem pleased. My mistress wasn't happy either, and both my girlfriends, while feigning delight at my regained prowess, were clearly more interested in nights out than nights in. I complained to my doctor that the drug wasn't helping. He squinted at the label and switched prescriptions. He said the original was an error. I now get endless refills of Lipton for my low tea. Decaf, of course. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good day to you. This is Richard. And this week's topic was drive, and I've some stories for you. Let's hope I don't drive you away. First is called Safari. You always get one on every game drive. The irritating, know-it-all idiot who ruins everything for the other guests, makes constant, unreasonable demands, and thinks the whole experience revolves around them. Today's was the worst. Everyone in the vehicle hated him with a passion. There we are, surrounded by a pride of lions, and he comes out with the inevitable question, "Are we safe?" As long as we stay in the vehicle. I turned the key with a secret smile, and nothing happened.
"So what do we do now?" he sneered.
"You," I smiled, "get out and push." Story number two is called Interview. We're looking for someone with drive and enthusiasm to be an inspirational leader in this company, said the guy behind the desk. "Are you that someone?" I opened my mouth to speak, but he cut me off. "Don't even answer that," he barked. "I can tell already you have what it takes. You know, I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to offer you the job right here on the spot. So what do you say?" I placed the parcel on his desk. "Package for you," I said. "Sign here, and I can get back to my deliveries." This one's called Taxi. "Follow that car," I shouted, throwing myself into the back of the cab. The driver took off, tires screeching. I've waited years for someone to say that. "So, are you a cop? Or a gangster? Or what?" "No questions. Just drive." We tore through the city streets, gradually gaining on the vehicle in front of us. Finally, at a red light, I wrenched open my door, flung a handful of cash at the cabbie, and calmly walked away. No idea who was in that car. I just always wanted to jump into a cab and shout, "Follow that car!" Haven't we all? Oh well, I'm done. Till next time, goodbye.
Hey everyone, this is Dwayne, and you're listening to a 100-word story. Now, drive. This time I'm going to get it done. I'll finish it and submit it. But I need a clean desk so I can concentrate. So I'll clean my desk and then I'll get it done. How did this desk get so messy? There sure are a lot of icons on my desktop too. Messy. I guess desks and desktops have that in common. I'll have to clean that up too. Clean my desk and my desktop, and then I will get it done. Okay, right after lunch, I'll clean my desk and desktop, and then I can finally get it done.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. She couldn't walk, but she had a very nice bike. It was parked outside the house, and it was covered by flowers. Violet, red, blue, and white. And she smiled. The bright colors made her smile. And the bicycle rusted away parked outside the house. Every now and then, she'd look at that bike. She'd close her eyes and ride it, her legs completely paralyzed, but moving freely in her imagination. Whenever she got home and parked the bicycle outside the house, the flowers would sway back and take hold of her bike, becoming the sole guardians of her dreams. And this was my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. It was a long drive through the night, during the course of which the muffled thumps from the boot grew gradually more faint until they ceased altogether. Finally, in the gray pre-dawn light, I pulled off the desert road and found the spot I'd previously chosen. It was cold, but digging would soon warm me up. 3 hours later, the sun was climbing over the horizon, and I was packing away the shovel and brushing the dust from my hands. That was the potatoes planted. I'd be taking the body home with me to brew into fertilizer for future use.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com and of the YA Books podcast and anything else I can come up with. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 591 with a prompt of drive. Here's my story. When I was a kid, my parents saved money on movies by piling us all in the station wagon and taking us to the drive-in theater. You paid by the carload and not by the individual person. On warm summer nights, we would sit on the hood of the car and watch the latest Disney flick, like The Love Bug, The Teenage Professor, or Song of the South. I saw the beginning of a lot of movies. Since they couldn't start until it was dark and the sun set around 9 p.m., I was usually asleep before the show ended. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Two Rubbers I Know here, with a story on the subject, drive. It began with the gene drive. It's a mechanism to make a gene pass itself to all your descendants, even if you only inherited one copy. It was used against mosquitoes, to stop malaria. Trouble is, those genes can get mutations, like any other. The mosquitoes evolved to handle it. Then it got into humans via mosquito bites. It incorporated retroviruses to copy itself between your cells and lured infectiousness from the common cold virus. The end game is something that can turn a crowd into a giant blob of cancer in the time it takes to watch a football game.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of drive. What more could you want? How about another weekly challenge? It's a pick two, so you're going to have to go to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for the whole list. Although if you mishear it, you know, misread lyrics, it's all there. So thank you all for being a part of this. Whether you listen, write, record, send, cheer along, protest, picket. There are no statues of me, so you don't need to tear them down. If you do create a statue of me, please tear it down. And if you put a statue, unless you put the statue in the middle of the freeway, then take pictures. Put it on YouTube. Live stream that thing. That's it. Thank you all for being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
In Hebrew school, the rabbi taught us about the Golem of Prague. When you put a prayer in its mouth and whisper a name, the Golem will hunt down that person. Every time I saw a statue, I'd put a hastily scribbled prayer in its mouth. "I'm a Schwartz," I'd whisper, imagining the fifth grade bully dragged from the schoolyard, kicking and screaming. But the statues never moved an inch. So I put a garden gnome in my backpack, and the next day at school, I bashed in Jaime's skull. "It was the Golem," I screamed as the teachers dragged me away.